It's the last week to talk to Ty Howie. Yeah. It's Gunner. It's Ty Howie. It's Steel City Music. And, of course, it's the pre-recorded show because we are still under COVID lockdown and all that other fun stuff. And it's raining. It's raining so bad outside. But, you know, talking to Ty always warms me up and I feel all warm and giddy inside. Hi, Ty.
Hi.
That's what I like about you. You'll play along with the goofiness. Ty Howie, the events manager from the Mohawk Student Association, on the line with me right now. And it's the last week of some of the online events that are coming up for the MSA, the end of November and parts of December. Ty, what is going on, sir? But first, very quickly, recap. How did the Ty, what's his name, Ty Shaw show end up?
Tyler Shaw,
yeah.
It was great. It was amazing. We had a really cool group of students do the songwriting 101 class, and that was a great experience to be a part of and watch, and
yeah,
and really good conversation. And
good.
And the concert was great. Tyler Shaw was spot on.
Well, you kind of figured it would be, yeah.
All of his hits, and got a good amount of students watching, and
good.
We had a meet and greet, and yeah, it was a really cool kind of way to end off the semester.
Yeah, that's I'm glad to hear that there was no technical glitches. That's always my biggest fear, and I think you know that is like, especially when you're dealing with an artist, and it's like you really want this to go over, and then all of a sudden someone says, "Oh, the Zoom thing isn't working properly." Like, oh, please don't do that.
It went completely smooth.
Good.
The second we logged on, till it was over.
Awesome, possum. All right, good stuff. Moving into the online trivia thing that's happening, of course, we have a bunch of stuff. Of course, this show is pre-recorded, so it'll be up on my website and everything. So we're going to talk about some stuff that'll be happening in the past tense to a point. Today we have Netflix trivia that's happening this Monday. And also November 30, we have Who Wants to Be a Millionaire game show, just wrapping up that. And then December 1st, which is the Tuesday, my wedding anniversary, and also December 10th, 10 days of giveaways. Tell everyone about that.
Yeah. So we're in the middle right now. So we've kind of done a little bit of an online survey, and we're doing kind of a couple unique prizes each day where we're asking students, hey, if you were hoping or looking for some help with a Christmas gift, maybe it's something for yourself, something that you would like to help out a friend or a family member in need. We're taking just kind of ideas and compiling them together, and we're going to be giving away giveaways every single day for the first 10 days of December. So we're right in the middle, and it's been going good. We've got some really great submissions and some really unique stories that have come out of this. And we also provided the students the opportunity to ask or let us know what kinds of feature events they would like to see in next semester. So we've been taking a little poll on that and got some great new ideas.
That's good. You tied
plug in a way to end the year.
You've tied in a charity component and did a little data research for the next couple months of what people want to what they would like to see as far as online with the MSA. That's a very smart move. Holiday movies online trivia will be happening, of course, on December 1st as well on the Tuesday, and of course you get a chance to win a $50 Spotify gift card if you participate. If you are a Mohawk College student, now moving into December 4th, the Friday, in which this will air on the Steel City Music Radio Show. Holiday cooking with Chef Jody will be happening at 6 p.m. So when you'll be listening to this and you are a Mohawk student, you can still participate in all of those things. Tell everyone a little bit about Chef Jody.
Yeah, Chef Jody, she's a chef and nutritionist out of the U.S. And we met her through kind of the network that we're a part of. When we do our event planning, but really great person. Is going to be doing a small little holiday meal,
right?
Three little quick holiday dishes that you can make, and students are encouraged to watch. And we have some students that have committed to buying some ingredients and trying to cook the recipes at the same time. So they'll be a part of the event as well. And just a little fun cooking demo for to end off the year.
That's perfect. And then also ending out two things. There'll be one more with as far as the game show Monday's happening. It's the Wheel of Fortune edition that's happening, with also Grey's Anatomy at 7 o'clock as well.
Yeah. That's it's Wheel of Fortune, but Grey's Anatomy edition. So one of the students that we talked to that live in residence kind of gave this idea to us. So she was a huge fan of Wheel of Fortune, and B, also a huge fan of Grey's Anatomy. So we put it together. And so all the answers and puzzles will be Grey's Anatomy themed.
Ah, okay.
On Wheel of Fortune.
Just to let you know, I'm a huge Wheel of Fortune fan. I watch it on TV, and I cannot tell you, Ty, I don't know if you react this way, if you ever watch it, but why do people waste the money on buying vowels? Why? It's just, I'm not a greedy person, but I don't think you need to buy all those vowels.
I don't know. I guess if you were picking a lot of I'm blanking on the word. What's the other one called?
Consonant?
That's it. Wow. Welcome. It's the end of the year. We're winding down.
This is why you would never be good on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, man. I'd just be picking vowels, because that's apparently the only word I can say. So
I don't know. It really is just a pet peeve of mine.
I guess if you were picking consonants and none of them were working, and then you just were like, well, I know there's got to be an E in there somewhere.
I absolutely think it's a waste of money. That's all I'm saying, but, you know. That's just me. I've never been on the show, but every time I've watched, I'm like, going, you're wasting your money. What are you doing? And everyone else can see all the letters. What are you doing? Stop it. Think it out in your head. But then again, I don't have the pressure of TV cameras on me and stuff like that too. So that's happening December 7th, Wheel of Fortune, Grey's Anatomy edition. And that'll be at 7 o'clock, Mohawk Student Association events. Just log online to be a part and find out more about all of those things. But on December 8th, which is the Tuesday, there's a MSA speaker series happening, and it's Listen and Engage with Candy Palmater. Tell us about that.
Well, this is our last event of the year for 2020. So can you imagine? This is the last virtual event for 2020.
Yeah. Well, it's committing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
We started this back in May.
Yeah.
April, May. Crazy. But anyways, here we are. Listen and Engage. So the title of the event is called The Power of Kindness and Self-Acceptance. Candy is a very funny comedian who has kind of been in the industry for a little while in Canada. So she has a show on CBC Radio 1. She also has, she also does a little bit of work, TV work, on the Aboriginal People's Television Network. But really great story for Candy is that she is part of the LGBTQ community, and B, she really focuses on her Indigenous culture in Canada. So we have a lot of themes going on for this speaking event, and we've been looking and having discussions on involving a couple students through the Mohawk College Indigenous department, as well as some students from Social Inc. So taking a few kind of different themes and a few different areas of the college to kind of put this one together. But really, it's about the power of kindness and self-acceptance. But what it's a little bit of a twist on it is that she's a comedian, right? So we're gonna take, you know, serious conversations, which are serious, and 100%, you know, we should respect these kinds of conversations, but maybe just a little bit of a lighter tone, or how to take a serious conversation about certain topics and make it comfortable and make people smile and laugh and
sometimes
stuff like that.
So, sometimes with a little bit of humor, you can it's easy to digest something that it's a a serious matter, and they are serious matters.
Yeah,
you know what you just said. So, yeah, that's terrific for the students.
Yeah, and that's going to be the finale of 2020.
There you go. And then, of course, January, February rolls around. What's the timeline for the first online event that you'll be launching up at the Mohawk Student Association?
We are working at. We'll be back. Just pulling up here. January 8th. Actually, no. I think actually the 6th to the 8th, there'll be a few little small activities that are happening throughout the day. But our main kind of orientation period, where we do some bigger events, like here's a little spoiler, like Free Dapps, which is our Florida hip hop improvisation rap friends.
Okay.
Making a comeback again to the MSA. So stuff like that will start to happen on the 11th. So you'll start to see the bigger items happen on the 11th. We just wanted to give students, you know, kind of a break over the holidays and then come back on the 4th or 5th and not just be overloaded with, pay attention to this, play this game, pay attention to this. So we're going to give a couple of days where there's, you know, I think we're going to do live at lunch, a little acoustic session that people can watch. On the Friday, we're going to have a little board game, internet board game hangout with Jackbox Games. Mm-hmm. And then the bigger stuff will start on the 11th.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you guys are still working hard at that. Good job. I'm happy that you guys did a very successful pivot in delivering the entertainment value to the students through online content. And keep mm-hmm. up the good work, pal.
Thanks. We're excited to be here. We're excited to continue to provide experiences to students. And honestly, it's, you know, it's slowly growing. We're making a little bit of an online community here with some students, and we're excited to do it and be a part of it.
Okay. If you're a Mohawk College student, head to mohawkstudents.ca for everything that you need to learn more about the MSA, the board of directors, the advocacy, the food services, clubs, and events. Of course, we're talking to Ty Howie. Ty, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. See you in 2021.
All right, buddy.
You know I'll put us back together.
right, on the line with me right now is a gentleman who's out in Vancouver. He's way out in Vancouver. And I say it that way because I was told a long time ago from a friend who said he was playing in a little cafe, and he started singing some songs, and the guy said, if you sing a song about going to or coming from Vancouver, I'll punch you right in the face. And I've always remembered that story, and ever since every time I've been up to Vancouver touring out there, that story just rings in my head. And Jacob Wheel is living in somewhere in Vancouver. Where are you, sir?
I'm just over across kind of the west near the university there in Kitsilano kind of area.
Oh, okay. Hey, man. Well, thanks for taking the time to chat with me.
I'm happy to.
Yeah. Christine Archer, mutual friend, said, You got to talk to Gunner. You know, you should really talk to Gunner. He likes to talk to people late at night after doing interviews all day, and his ears has tinnitus. You should talk to Gunner. He'll be in a great mood.
That's the time.
That's the best of times. Hey, man, from what I understand, you're originally from Hamilton, are you not?
I am. I've moved out here. Actually, I went to school out on the island out here. Yeah, but left Hamilton and tried to do something a little different. And my family, they're all musicians. So
really?
For some reason, at the time, I wanted to do something different, but I always ended up back in the music at the end of it. But yeah, I went out to school out here.
What year was that?
Victoria. 2010 out here.
So 2010, you went out, and what were you taking out in music then, Victoria?
No, actually, I was the black sheep of the family, and I went in to do some marine biology stuff until I realized that that's not what I wanted to do at all. So,
no way, hey, marine biology?
Yeah.
Oh,
it took a little bit of a different tack.
Oh my God. Like that's like, I've never heard anyone who's ever said, yeah, I'm going to go across the country and go study marine biology from Hamilton.
Like, well, it was either that or Guelph.
I mean, if it was Guelph, your parents could visit you. So, you know, if you wanted a little privacy, I guess I could see why you would go to Victoria, go all that way, you know.
Yeah, they made some bartering at the initial stages to try and keep me in Guelph.
Right. But you must have, like, at some point just looked at the water here, the Hamilton Harbor, and just went, I got to figure out how to fix this, you know? Is that the reason why you did this?
You know what? Actually, it started out my brother was, he was doing his music degree in Toronto at U of T. Right. He was working at a dive shop. And that kind of sparked my fascination with the water originally, and I kind of got me into. I started watching all those all those David Attenborough things that came out around the time, all the Planet Earth and stuff.
Sure,
I really
just
got excited about it.
Well, yeah, that makes total sense, man. Like, yeah, you're like, yeah, I want to be a part of this. But so you get out there, and then you just said your brother is studying to be a musician. You come from a musical family. Was it when you were out there you made that realization that this isn't who I am, or was it just like, what was that moment where it was like a shift in gears for you?
It was interesting because, I did it for a long time. I still kind of am doing it a bit now that COVID's hit. I've kind of been able to fall back on some of that stuff.
Sure.
Well, the music's been laying low, but I just started playing with people out west again. Mm-hmm. And, I found it again. I found kind of the music in me again, and I had some kind of great opportunities a few years ago to tour with some great people from out west.
Right.
And from there, I just kind of jumped on those opportunities again because I realized that while I really, I enjoyed the biology stuff, that really it wasn't what I was meant to be doing and what I found the most joy doing. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're lucky. You're lucky you fell into that situation. A lot of us just trip through life that way and we don't have that moment of clarity, like this isn't me. You know, you're lucky that you're young enough to make that switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still following through life just the same. But,
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I'm paying you a compliment. Like, you are so lucky that you're young enough to go, okay, yeah, this isn't me, but, I this is my passion and that sort of thing. Now, you said 2010 when you went out to school. When did you start playing in bands and touring Canada? Like, where did it all start? What band were you with?
Yeah, so I started off, I think it was around 2014, 2015 maybe,
right.
With a band called Davenport, which was just a local band out here on the island.
Yeah.
Met a really good friend, Peter Day, out here, who was getting involved with a bunch of the Victorian music scene, and I got to meet a lot of people through there, and we did our first Cross Canada tour, I think in 2016, with them after recording a little bit. And it was actually through him that I ended up meeting a guy named Sam Weber,
Right, who, Sam, yeah.
That's where I ended up touring for the past couple of years, pretty much nonstop. So
you've been doing with Davenport, it was your band with the other guy, and then after that you became a sideman for Sam Weber.
Yeah, I wasn't quite the lead guy in Davenport either, but I definitely was starting to do more and more in that band as things went on.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you've always been someone who stands in the background, then, and I say that not in a way to demean you or anything, but the focus was not on you. You were in a support aspect. So, which leads me now, you know, you toured with Sam for the last little while, and from the reading I've been doing, he's helped record this EP that's coming out in January. But now, you know, it's, and I talk about this with people who always make that first, is it a leap of faith, maybe? That now it's like they bring their voice to the front. Now it's all about them. They have no other place to hide on the stage. You're the focal point. How does that, have you had any shows where you were doing your own music before COVID hit, or is this it? Like, once this is done, you're able to go out, you're the center of attention.
Well, we played a few shows. It almost felt like a bad omen, because played a couple shows out here, and then a couple of them got canceled due to weather when I was just kind of in the January, February time when
sure.
I was first starting to put these solo act things together, and then COVID hit kind of pretty much right away. So I've only been able to really get out there and put on probably half a dozen good solo shows so far. So, but I found kind of doing the touring for the past couple of years that it's I feel like a weird kind of comfortability on stage that I found translated pretty well when it ended up needing to be the center of attention. So
you were okay with it, because because you can always just step back from the spotlight and let someone else be the focal point, right? Like it's a very comfortable feeling, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's definitely, it was a little bit of a switch, but I felt it, it felt easier than I thought. So it was kind of nice.
So you always felt comfortable even from the get-go with Davenport, that the stage is where you were meant to be.
For sure. I mean, right. Yeah, you just come up, I just can, yeah, the kind of creative freedom that you can have when you're interacting with other people in an audience and on that live setting, it's just, I mean, it's something everybody misses right now, but yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Think a lot of people are missing a lot of things right now, and as a musician, I would imagine that you are missing that whole vibe. It's because it's part of who you are. Hey, folks, you're listening to Steel City Music. Your host, Gunnar, here. I have Jacob Wheel on the line with me. He has a new EP coming out January 22nd of 2021, but he is releasing a single on December 4th called Feeling My Youth. Jacob, with Davenport and with Sam Weber, with Davenport, were you doing some writing?
Not really. Everybody was a little, the main guy, Peter Day, would bring stuff to the group, and we'd all kind of make our mark on it.
Right.
But for the main principal songwriting component, it was never me.
It was never you. Okay. So, yeah. and then you were playing as a sideman with Sam Weber. Was there any sort of thing that he was with what your style of writing that you picked up from him? Like, were you influenced by others' songs?
For sure. I mean, Sam Weber is just an absolutely incredible songwriter, and I think that's really what sparked a lot of this in my mind. Was getting to kind of go in day in and day out with just these guys who are just so good at what they do, and kind of the wordplay and the meanings behind the songs, and being able to express it so eloquently, not just with Sam as well, but with the people that he was around, and, mm-hmm. and some of the people down in Los Angeles who we got to kind of interact with, just such great songwriters that really, I think, sparked kind of my development and what made me really want to do this in the first place, to go on my own.
Well, surrounding yourself with positivity and people who are creative that move forward helps any artist, I believe, or anything that you do in life.
Absolutely.
So you went down there and you did a 7-track EP. What was the studio that you did it in? Who's all a part of it?
So this was a drummer. So we just finished a tour with Tara Lightfoot.
Oh, geez.
Supporting Tara.
Yeah.
Which was great. And through that tour, we came up with a great relationship with her drummer at the time. His name's Frankie Siracusa.
Mm-hmm.
And He's also the drummer for the Posies.
Yes.
So we kind of struck up a great relationship, and he's got a great studio down there in Highland Park in Los Angeles, and it's just a beautiful. It's part of his home, and it's called the Lab Studio, and it was just the perfect space to kind of get in there and fully get weird and be creative for that week. So, yeah.
So you were only there for a week. Did you? I asked about the songwriting because. Are you the type of a person that has, I have 30 songs going in, or do you have 9 songs going into this?
I definitely have, especially kind of getting going, I had much less songs. So I probably had about maybe a dozen or so, and I went in and I knew kind of when we got there that these 7 were the 7.
Right.
We played around with some stuff for the first day, you know, when we got some of our friends in there, a couple of them who heard the songs for the first time and said, you know, this one works better, this one doesn't. And kind of the whole fit of the album, these 7 kind of really fit together, especially as kind of a moment of time, you know, full collection, I think was just kind of natural that these 7 were the ones.
Did you have any anxiety about the process, because you know these are your songs, right? This is like this is you putting everything out there of who you are, that sort of thing. And if you're in a studio with someone else and you're playing on their music, you can critique to a point that someone, like, do you know what I mean, without offending someone.
Sure.
How was that feeling for you, having someone go, this isn't working?
Yeah, I think, you know, having been in that position before and knowing that just kind of having this free flow of ideas where people can shout stuff out and say, you know, this is what the track needs, this is what it doesn't need. And then you try it out and it might not work out. And then you just do the take again, which was fine. And I thought, you know, after a little while, I really, there's no anxiety. The anxiety kind of melted away, I guess, is a better way to put it, because I really trusted all those guys as well. And then their musical, their taste and their, you know, where to put things in when they need to be. So it was just a really great kind of bouncing off ideas. And I really like to make sure every musician in the room gets to put their own little mark on each song. Cause I think that's really important. That's really cool. And what makes each song kind of unique and each recording experience unique.
Well, it always, if you have enough trust in everyone, it always brings out the best in them.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you sent me the song. I was listening to it, and I was kind of put back just a little bit about some of the pop melodies that were in it. And then, of course, with me, I'm always trying to figure out, okay, who's influencing this guy? Like, where is this coming from? Like, what's his label? And I play that game, and I always do that, because I know later on I have to go on the air and say he is kind of gets compared to this and this, only for the listener's benefit of being able to, like, figure it out, because you never like to label someone, but there is this indie pop feel to it, but there's also this a folksy thing I kind of heard too. Who influenced you as songwriting and music wise?
Well, for sure. I mean, so I like kind of over the past, you know, decade, I grew up listening to kind of a whole range of, like, kind of really disparate music from what I'm listening to right now. And over the past decade, I've really been more influenced by a lot of some of those older, you know, those great songwriters like Paul Simon, Randy Newman, Joni Mitchell.
You said Randy Newman. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up.
Really?
And then I thought, nah, he's not going to say that he likes Randy Newman. But I heard a little Randy Newman. That's great, man.
That's great. I mean, that's always something you love to hear, because that man is such an incredible songwriter.
Sure.
Yeah. And then just lately, I mean, again, a lot of these newer songwriters kind of, they're coming out. Madison Cunningham is a big one, big influence for me right now. Christian Lee Hudson, he's kind of works with Phoebe Bridgers and a couple of those people. Just people who really have kind of focused their efforts on the content of the song instead of the content of the song and the source story instead of kind of this more ostentatious showboaty kind of things have always drawn me in, and the people who are a little bit more soft-spoken have always drawn me in. Hey, this is Jacob Wheel. I've got a new single, Feeling My Youth, coming out on December 4th. You can check it out at jacobwheelmusic.com.
I always felt so far from the feeling that I never knew it by name. Like you're hoping for a change in emotion or waiting out a zero-sum game. When you were young, you didn't know what, but you knew you wanted more. You took a minute just to slow down, baby, and learn what it all was for. Cause you can't take it all out on yourself. You're still young and you don't understand that to grow you need the pain. In defeat, feed the flame, give away. I was always too green to realize so much more going on behind those eyes. Now I'm feeling my youth and I can't wait. First, and I knew I'd lay my back on my feet. Learn to stay through my naivety and learn through all my defeats that you can't take it all out on yourself. You're still young and you don't understand that to grow you need the pain. Young and you don't understand that to grow you need the pain.